You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We are now more than a year into Donald Trump's second term as president. Over the past 12 months, we've seen the United States flex its military muscles both within the Western Hemisphere and beyond, launching a military operation in Venezuela and capturing President Nicolas Maduro, making further threats to take over Greenland, and provoking Iran by sending a fleet of warships to the Persian Gulf. Last year, President Trump even signed an executive order renaming the Department of Defense to the Department of War on the basis that the former name was too woke. This morning, I spoke with University of Auckland Professor Chris Ogden about the assertion of hard power in American diplomacy and how this can be understood through the theory of political realism. It was over 200 years ago that American President James Monroe first articulated what has come to be known as the Monroe Doctrine. Could you give us a quick explainer on what the Monroe Doctrine is and how this is related to what President Trump has been calling the Donroe Doctrine?
So the Monroe Doctrine says that there is a specific sphere of influence that should be under American control, which they would designate to be the Western Hemisphere, which means the Americas, North and South together. And it appears that some of the actions by the current US president are maybe replicating this. So ousting the leader of Venezuela, for example, security treaties with a range of countries in South America, and maybe supporting right-wing populists across the region. So in many ways, the new Donroe Doctrine looks to be an equivalent to the Monroe Doctrine.
2 weeks ago, after speaking at Davos, Trump appeared to have backed down somewhat from his goal of annexing Greenland into the United States. Nevertheless, Trump told Fox News that, quote, "we're getting everything we wanted, total security, total access to everything." Does Trump still intend to make Greenland the 52nd state, or should we view his aggressive stance as part of a negotiating tactic?
Yeah, this is very hard to unravel. So I think there's definitely still scope for trying to take Greenland in some capacity. And certainly there's an unexpected kind of angles to all of that. So one thing to note with Greenland is that the US could have just asked to expand military bases and got that really easily. But I also think it plays very well to his base. So I think it's very much still in the balance. And I certainly don't think it's finished either as a negotiating tactic or as a tactical aim.
In your recent newsroom article, you quote Trump's advisor Stephen Miller as saying, "We live in a world, in the real world, that is governed by strength, that is governed by force, that is governed by power. These are the iron laws of the world." What exactly is meant by the doctrine of political realism, and how far back can this be traced in American political history?
Yes, I think the doctrine's always been there. So what it means is raw, brute power. Use that to get what you want, either militarily, economically, force your opponents into submission, and use your position as being very powerful against anybody else in order to maintain control and overall dominance of the international system. It's always been there in American foreign policy, but has been a kind of velvet glove of multilateral institutions, diplomacy, so on and so forth. And I think what's happened with Trump is he's just taken the glove off and said, "Here we are. This is us. You're going to listen, you're going to respond, and we're going to force you to do whatever we want." And the realist side there is that, again, it's pure power rather than thinking about diplomacy, values, or relationships.
So you would say that the realism has always been there, but Trump is hiding it less than previous presidents would. I mean, he's renamed the Department of Defense to the Department of War, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you look back to the comparisons with the Monroe Doctrine, in the 70s and the 80s, the US intervened all the way across South America, sometimes deposing democratic regimes, sometimes instituting authoritarian ones. They've intervened in so many countries in so many different ways with their scores and scores of military bases. So it's always been there, but it's been hidden behind diplomatic language that Trump seems to be incapable or unwilling to use.
You write that since the end of the Second World War, US foreign power has required a continual need for enemies. It seems that as well as searching for enemies abroad, the United States has a habit of declaring war on internal threats as well. I'm thinking of the war on drugs launched by Richard Nixon in 1971, or the so-called war on poverty announced by Lyndon B. Johnson in 1964. Do you think that American political culture as a whole is unusually bellicose? Is there a reason that Americans always seem to yearn for someone or something to declare war on?
So I think it's the basis of identity quite often. that we're looking for similarity or difference. And I think it's easier for a group to say that they are, say, necessarily good or better if you have a group that you can say is evil or bad. So I think that kind of division works very fruitfully for any country, really. For the United States, during the Cold War, the enemy was the Soviet Union. Then we had the War on Terror. Now we have China. This definitely helps, say, with military sales, but it also helps internally. So Trump's rhetoric about leftists, liberals, Antifa, so on and so forth, are all ways of galvanizing his identity and the identity of his supporters to the detriment of others. So I think it's very fruitful as a political strategy, but it's also very divisive. Again, when you have a leader who doesn't want to build consensus or build stability.
In your article, you also quoted the famous line from the Melian dialogue in Thucydides, where the Athenians declare that the strong do what they can and the weak suffer what they must. And much like the Athenians during the Ionian Revolt of 498 BC, the Americans have sent a fleet of warships towards Persian territory. Is it likely that we'll see American strikes on Iran? And if so, is this bound to turn into an all-out regional war, as Ayatollah Khamenei has warned?
I think undoubtedly Trump in many ways will get trapped by his rhetoric. So if he says he's going to take action, he has to show that he's a strong man, so he'll have to do something in some regard. So I think it's likely that there could be more strikes against Iran. This also certainly helps Israel. In terms of the wider consequences, we'd have to see. But I certainly don't think that Iran would be a pushover militarily. And then the big conundrum for the United States is they can do airstrikes, but do they really want to put troops on the ground? And if they do that, you'll be looking at another new kind of Iraq or another new Afghanistan in terms of American troops being there for a long time. One very interesting thing about President Trump is that he seems to be very averse to military loss. He's quite willing to use military force, but whether he's willing to deal with hundreds of American troops dying is a different thing.
That was Chris Ogden, Program Director and Associate Professor in Global Studies at the University of Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.